started to get excited when they said, after a selection from the choir. I said, it gives me a minute more to get my act together, as it were. Good morning, Shiloh and friends. Good morning. The Lord is good? All the time. I heard a hymn writer said, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Who's got joy today? Amen. Who's got joy today? First, giving honor to the pastor, my pastor, the shepherd of this flock. We pray that he's doing a magnificent work on the sea, preaching and doing what God has called him to do in that space. But I encourage you and the leaders in particular as well that we need to continually lift our pastor up in prayer. Amen. That's our job, so that he can do his job, and so that our ministry will be lifted up and will glorify our God in heaven. I thank the Lord today for the leadership of this church, deacons, trustees, all of which who have really supported me and encouraged the ministry and opened their arms up to my family. Yep, my husband beating on the drums back there, my kids back in the corner. I just thank you so very much for allowing me to be a part of this church family and this choir as well. Thank you. I wish I would have gotten a memo about the shirts. It would have been so much more easier for me to get dressed this morning. I almost thought I had a flashback. I thought it was the culmination of Women's Day. So I thank you so very much for being here, for singing to God's glory and blessing me. And so there indeed is a word from the Lord today. Amen. I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And we are going to find our text this morning in chapter 7. We are going to begin our reading in verse 21. That is Matthew 7, beginning with verse 21. And we will conclude our reading with verse 27. Now it is the practice of this house to read our scripture responsively. And so what we will do is I will start off, I'll read the first one, you'll read the second one, and we will find ourselves in verse 27, reading it all together. If that makes sense to you, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Hear now the word of the Lord. And for your hearing, I'm reading from the New International Version. The Word of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Verse 24. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on a rock. Together, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. We thank God for the reading and the hearing of his word. Father God, it is in your word that we find the truth in our very life. It is in your word that gives us direction, hope, courage for the day. It is in your word that we know you and are known by you. Father God, we are just trusting and believing that your Holy Spirit has found residence in this place. And we lean on its guidance for a word for your people today. Father God, we need a word to encourage our souls. We need a word to guide our feet, O Lord. We need a word, O God, to put us back on the right track, O God. Lord, your people need a word from you. And so now, God, we ask that you hide this here, your servant, behind your cross. Not my words, but your words. Not my will, but your will be done. Allow this vessel, oh God, to lift up the strong and matchless word that is your word. Allow this vessel, oh God, to be used of you, that someone may come and say, What must I do to be saved? That someone may say, I need a turnaround. That someone may say, Lord, help. Lord, we lift up this prayer now in only one name, in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, who died on the cross that we might have life eternal. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. You may rest on your seats. Praise God. I was looking forward to another song, I'll be completely honest with you, because I am a praiser and worshiper, folks. I get strength from the songs of Zion. I like to praise God. I like to be in the midst of those who praise God and worship God and take their time to really celebrate the goodness of the Lord, because I have figured out that there is a secret trick to praise. When we praise the Lord, his blessings come down. When we praise the Lord, shackles are broken. When we praise the Lord, people are delivered. So I have come to know when things go wrong and things go crazy, I just take a moment to praise the Lord. Is that all right? So I was looking for a song today, but I'll just go with all the little songs. My poor family today turned on YouTube, and I just had Israel blasting, and my husband usually watches the news. I said, not today. I got to get ready to proclaim the word of God. Amen? Amen. And indeed, there is a word from the Lord, a right word and a good word from the Lord. And if we have prayers in the house, start praying now. Start praying now that the word will come through clear. You know, I've come to realize every single job that I have gone to, whether it was after I had received my degrees and sent in by way of resumes, every job asks you to complete a job application. And on this job application, they ask for all this demographic information, your full name, your address, your previous employers. And there's one particular section of the application that's called the reference section. And in that section, they ask you to provide the name of someone and the phone number that they can call to ask and give testimony to your character and who you are. They're looking to ask a couple of questions so they can get a sense of who you are beyond what you put on paper, beyond what you presented of yourself when you came for the interview. They want to understand from someone else who you are. And I wonder today, who would we offer to give reference for us? Not just for a job reference, but a character reference. Who would be the person that we'd offer to give testimony of the type of disciple we are? Who would you put down? Who would you ask to give that testimony? And in the light of the text today, where we see a person coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, Lord, and he's saying, I never knew you, in the light of the text read in our hearing today, I invite you to think on this question. Does Jesus know you? If Jesus was asked to provide a recommendation of your character, what would Jesus say? Now, I know, folks, Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything about us. But what would the Lord say to someone else about how he experiences us, about our relationship? Again, I ask the question, does Jesus know you? And if he did provide the reference, would it be what you think he would say? Does Jesus know you? Today's text, some perceive as being one of the hard sayings of Jesus. And yet we are going to take these words to help us to ground and give an assessment of our own discipleship. Our text today is taken from a larger passage in the Gospel of Matthew known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is on the Mount and he is sharing wise teachings. And he starts with the Beatitudes and how our attitude should be. And he goes on and to talk about being the light on a hill and our evangelism and the type of persons we should be. He goes on to talk about divorce and marriage. He goes on to even tell us about prayer and praying not just visibly, but praying in your heart and in your secret place. And this sermon, some believe, was given over a period of time. So it wasn't like he got up on Sunday morning and had all these wise sayings and in an hour he was done. But it was believed it was almost like a revival. Jesus was in conference. He was in convocation and he was presenting to the would-be followers what it took or what it would take to be a true disciple, what he was looking for in his followers. First and foremost, it would be important for us to know what a disciple is. And the dictionary definition of a disciple is a student or a follower. And so that makes sense. Okay, it's just someone who just does what the teacher or learns from a particular teacher. And yet, discipleship, and from Jesus' perspective, is not just about doing what the teacher taught, but it's about being who the teacher wants you to be. It's about being like the teacher. And so I just wanted to make that clear. When I speak about discipleship, that's the type of discipleship that I am speaking about. And so over the three chapters in the book of Matthew, the Sermon of the Mount is shared. And it's in this last chapter, in this final aspect of this sermon, that we find our text today. We're kind of like in the final day of revival. You know that last day of revival, they're gonna leave you with this banging message that will have an imprint on your brain such that when you go out, that will be the thing that you do, amen? And so some think, oh my goodness gracious, Lord, Lord, and he doesn't know me. That's a hard word to hear. That is a hard word to hear. And there have been those who've gone back and forth and said, oh, does it mean that some people who will not be saved, does it mean that you lose your salvation? I'm not even going there, to be quite honest, because I'm looking at this text as a foretaste for us to kind of judge ourselves and get our lives right. I'm looking at this text, not that I'm already at the gate, but now I have an opportunity, even better opportunity, to get to the gate. I'm using this text as a guide so that we can check and see if we're living right. And so, 3 points, three quick points. I'm saying them now because I might forget them. My 3 points. Not by word. First point. Not by deed, second point, but who you be. Now that is not good English, but it preaches well. Not by word, not by deed, but it's who you be. So if there's anything I've said, jot those down, got those, we're good and we can go. So I've already provided for you the definition of what a true disciple or what Jesus is looking for in a disciple. And we see in the first verse of our text that Jesus says, and I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible, everything we read was in red letters. So everything we said, Jesus said. So in my Bible, Jesus is saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven. Ouch, that really hurts. Now, yeah, that's a difficult thing to kind of grapple with. So what I understand that as to mean is what you say won't necessarily save you. What you say won't necessarily save you. Wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to confess the Lord? That is true. But confession of the Lord has less to do about what you say and the condition of your heart. When we confess the Lord Jesus, we're talking about what we already believe in our heart, not just what you say. So what you say doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to save you. What do you mean? Well, you know those folks. Everybody's seen those folks. In particular, you've probably seen them in school more than anywhere else. You see the kid who's always raising their hand, asking a question or answering every question. And they're not asking the question because they really don't understand what the answer is. They already know what the answer is. They're not asking the question because they think, oh, some of my student friends don't know what the answer is. They're just raising their hand, asking the question to be seen by the teacher. They're just trying to get brownie points. They're just trying to say, hey, look at me, I'm smart. Look what I know. You've seen them everywhere. Those who say things, they can say the right things to get the right response. They know how to say just right so that you will be wooed in by what they say. However, Jesus won't be wooed by what people say. Amen? So it's not necessarily what you say. Or I'll give another analogy. Say you're in a public setting and you ask for forgiveness of someone and you say, look, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I did that. Please forgive me. And the person who has offense says, I'll forgive you. I understand. No problem. And yet, in their heart, they're still holding on to that thing. They're just saying that so everybody else thinks that they're really holy and they're really nice, but they're really still pissed off at you. And it's not always what they say, but it's what is in their heart. Amen? And what it should be is what you say should reflect what you believe. And so when Jesus is talking about these folks that say, Lord, Lord, they don't mean it in their hearts. They just want everybody to think they're on board. It's not what you say, it's not by word. And yet, just doing good deeds in and of themselves isn't evidence of true discipleship either. In the text, they say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and do all these miracles in your name? And yet these good deeds demonstrate the wrong type of discipleship. All good deeds may not be God-inspired. All good deeds may not be for God's glory. There's a difference. When we are trying to think of ways, for example, to grow our congregation, and we're trying to do all these marketing tactics, and yet the real reason why we're doing it is because we want to have just as many church members as that church down the street, that the motivation is wrong and what we are doing is wrong. It's more about the motivation. It's more, if we are more concerned about boosting our numbers than saving souls, that ain't true discipleship. If we are more concerned about outward appearance than inward conversion, that's not true discipleship. When outward appearance is the focus, we are no longer being disciples of Christ. Church, our words and our actions are only as good as the motivation that we say them and that we do them. This was one of the main issues that Jesus had with the religious leaders of the day. They could care less about what their motivation was. They wanted to stand up front. They wanted to be grand. In one passage, Jesus said, "You are so concerned about the cleanliness outside of the cup, and yet inside the cup is filthy." And yet, the word of God says, out of the heart is the truth. And so these leaders of that day were so focused on how they looked and what they did in a grandstand that they failed to realize that God sees our heart. And you know, quiet as it's kept, that's an issue that we have in our world today. You know, we are so busy having the biggest house but not able to pay the mortgage, having that fantastic car and yet we can't even really put the gas in it. Or all these outward things. We want people to see that we are fabulous. And yet on the inside, our lives are falling apart. On the inside, we come home crying every night and feeling lost and empty. It's not about the outward appearance, but it's about the inward conversion that is true discipleship. Of that Jesus is looking for today. You know, and we see this everywhere, I think. We really see this everywhere. We even see it sometimes in our church, you know. We see those who know every rule, who knows the Constitution, who could tell you the order of every service, and if you fall out of order, they have an issue. Skip in if the Holy Spirit is trying to do something new in the midst, because their focus is on what is on the outside and what they know. And you know what? What it's really about, submitting to the will of God. We need to learn that it's not our will, but it's God's will. It's really not about what I think and what I know, but it's about what God knows and about what God is doing. And that's not an easy thing to do. I'll be straight up and honest with you. I'll give you an example. So in preparing for preaching, preaching ain't easy. Preaching ain't easy. And, you know, when you're preparing to hear a word from the God, you really want that to be God's word and not you trying to impose God's word. And so all week, you can give testimony to this, all week I have been laboring with the word of God. In my mind, I had a plan. I said, look, God, you know, this is the scripture. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to study a little bit on Monday. We're going to put an outline together on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I'm going to have this message, and I'm going to chill on Thursday and Friday. That was my will. That was what I had in mind. That's not what God had in mind. I had a word, I'm thinking, nope, not that way. No, I was like, look, Lord, it is Saturday. It is Saturday, Lord. But the amazing thing is, it's when we submit to the will of God, then God takes all of what he's used, all of what we learned back and forth all week long, and he uses a word to speak to his people, amen? And herein lies the true piece about what true discipleship is. And herein lies how you can get a good recommendation from Jesus. True disciples do the will of God. Jesus said it in the text. But what does it mean to do the will of God? Doing the will of God is giving evidence that you believe the word of God and that you are living in relationship with God. You see, that entire Sermon on the Mount, Jesus just painstakingly gave them all of what it is to do to be his disciple. He gave them illustrations and examples, and he painstakingly spelled out in his word what we need to do. And so we have to make time, take time to be with God. We have to make time and take time to study God's word. We have to make time and take time to experience God. True discipleship is first being with God, then doing for God out of your experience with being with God. That was a lot of being. True discipleship is first being with God, then doing for God out of your experience of being with God. We are being with God when we read God's word, when we study God's word, when we meditate on God's word, when we're praying to him and listening for his voice. It is in these spaces that our hearts are transformed and lined up to his will. It is in these spaces that we build our relationship with God. Discipleship is ultimately about relationship. You see, in verse 23, Jesus says, I never want to hear him say this to me. He says, I never knew him. You see, in other places in scripture, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, right? And the word to know in scripture is used to describe intimate relationships, not just knowledge of someone. In Genesis 4:1, it says, Adam knew Eve and she conceived Cain, intimate relationship. In Deuteronomy 34:10, it says, Moses knew God face to face. That's an intimate relationship. Both passages involve knowing and relationship. True discipleship is grounded in our relationship with the Lord. When we are in relationship with someone, we make a conscious effort to get to know them. Oh, come on, you know what it's like. You remember that your first love? How many remember their first love? Mine is right here. Mine is right here. You know what it's like when you first start dating. You're on the phone all the time. You want to talk to them all the time. You stay up late on the phone. You fall asleep on the phone. When they call, you drop everything. That's the kind of relationship the Lord wants to have with us. That's the kind of relationship where we place priority, where we want to get to know him. Man, I ask my husband so many questions. What about this? What do you like? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite cake? What's your favorite this? Because I wanted to get to know him, amen? And that's the kind of relationship that true discipleship is built out of, amen? And lastly, true discipleship is evident in how we live our lives. In verses 24 through 27, Jesus is giving us a metaphor of what a true disciple's life is like and what it is not. Those who build their homes on a solid foundation or on the rock are true disciples. What is the rock? The rock is the teaching of Jesus. The rock is having a relationship with Jesus. The rock is Jesus. Jesus said in another place of scripture, he says, he is the chief cornerstone of the house. He is the rock. It is like a house that is built on a firm foundation. So when trouble comes, when the storms of life are raging, when the winds of doubt and discontent are blowing, when sickness comes, when death comes, when finances dry up, when marriages start to fray around the edges, when hope becomes a distant reality, when children rebel, when family forsake you, when friends forsake you, when you lose that job, when it seems like no one understands what you're going through, when it seems like there is no hope, when it seems like you're all by yourself, if you build your house on a firm foundation, you will stand. You will stand. The word of God says that rain will fall on all of us, the just and the unjust. Good things will happen to you and you and me. Bad things as well. It doesn't mean that he keeps bad things from us, but it just means when we go through those rough places, we cling to the rock. Our anchor, our hope is in the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And we're able to stand. Jesus is looking for some people who can stand today. He needs true disciples. He wants people to study his word, to get in his word, so that when the enemy comes at us, we will not fall. We will not fail. Amen. Oh, solid rock, solid rock. And church, I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you, but in that last day, what I'm looking for is for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, come on in. Come on in. I'm not rushing that day along, but that is what I want to hear. When I was younger, I just loved tracts. I love, you know, those little religious tracts they hand out. And there was this one particular tract that was so impressing on my heart that I just loved. I don't know if you, those of you who remember it, and I'm going to have to look it up because I have to share it. It was called This Is Your Life. You remember that one? This Is Your Life. It was so cool. It was about this guy who was living crazy, reckless, just doing whatever. And all of a sudden, he croaks, he dies. And he's going up to the pearly gates. And he's like, yo, I'm here. Let me in. And he's like, okay, before you come in, I want you to see the tape. You know, they say, roll the tape. Roll the tape. I just wanted to see this little tape. And on the tape is his life. Things that he ain't think anyone else saw. Things that he thought it was just between him and him. And all of a sudden, he sees his life flash before him. And he's getting embarrassed, and he's getting nervous. And I hate to say what ultimately ends up happening. But you know, that really impressed upon me. Not like I'm trying to go to the pearly gates today. But I want to keep in my mind that at some juncture, I'm going to be held accountable of the life that I live. At some juncture, I'm going to have to answer for what I did. At some juncture, I'm going to, why didn't you share the gospel with the person on the side of the road? I'm going to have to answer for that. And I preach this message today because it gives us a chance to say, how am I doing? It gives us an opportunity that if we're not going in the direction that will lead us to well done, good and faithful servant, that we have a chance to course correct. That we have a chance to turn it around. For me, it's all about the word of God. For me, it's all about lifting up the name of Jesus. For me, it's not about form or fashion. It's not about whether it is traditional or contemporary. Is Jesus in the midst of it? Then it's about Jesus. And we are living in an evil day now. We are living in times where it's hard to see what's right and what's wrong. It's easy to get pulled away by every wind of doctrine. And the only way you'll be able to know the truth of God for yourself is to know the word of God for yourself. Jesus is looking for true disciples. Ooh, I heard the hymn writer said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, on Christ, on Christ, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. God bless you. Everybody stand to your feet now. Deacons, deaconess, clergy. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Jesus is looking for true disciples today. He is looking for those who want to get to know him, who want to be in relationship with him. The doors of the church are open. Don't let it be said that the last day will show up and he say to you, I never knew you. Jesus wants to save you. He wants you to be a light for all. Now the clergy and deacons and deaconesses are standing out here. They're also standing out here if you need prayer. Because sometimes we just need someone to lift up a word on our behalf. Sometimes we just need someone to call on the name for us. The doors of the church are open. Jesus wants you to know him. Jesus wants you to be, he wants to be in relationship with you. And trust you me, being in relationship with him is much better than walking in this life on your own. Amen? The doors of the church are open. Is there anyone? Is there anyone?
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be in the name of the Lord. He is worthy. Yes, he is. We do. We bless his name today. We bless his name. We bless his name. You may take your seats.